Good afternoon. Thank you very much for coming to this session, and thank you very much, Ben, for inviting me to be part of this panel. Traditional human rights monitoring tools tend to look at the past and uncover and report on past violations of human rights. Conventional tools of the human rights practitioner include revealing human rights violations, shaming governments in reports, developing media campaigns, and bringing cases to courts and treaty bodies. More recently, human rights practitioners have relied on tools that allow us to look forward and promote the progressive realization of human rights, rather than simply looking backwards to address past violations. This proactive approach to human rights uses human rights indicators and sets human rights targets for governments to achieve in the future. It also engages with the legislative branches of government, not just the courts and the treaty bodies, to advocate for laws and policies that promote the full realization of human rights. One of these proactive policy-making tools is human rights impact assessment, and that's the topic of my presentation. I have no relationships to disclose. 2 decades ago, in 1994, Gostin and Mann developed a methodology for human rights impact assessment of proposed health policies that was published in the journal Health and Human Rights. Since this pioneering article on human rights impact assessment, the field has progressed substantially in 3 different ways. 1, the content of the right to health has been delineated in much greater detail through domestic and international law. 2, the human rights mechanisms have recommended repeatedly that governments undertake human rights impact assessment, and they've issued guidelines and methodologies for doing so. And 3, non-governmental organizations in particular, but also international organizations, have developed human rights impact assessment tools and carried out case studies to demonstrate their feasibility. I'm not going to talk about the progress in the development of the right to health, except to say that after General Comment 14 came out in 2000, and then there were appointment of several special rapporteurs on the right to health, we now have a huge body of documents on the content of the right to health that was not there before 2000. But what I am going to do is give you a little bit on the basics of impact assessment, then I'm going to talk about the idea of a legal obligation for human rights impact assessment, a little bit on the practice of human rights impact assessment, and then an overview of the progress that's been made during the last 20 years and the challenges that still remain. So the International Association of Impact Assessment has this to say. Impact assessment is a technical term that can be defined simply as the process of identifying the future consequences of a current or proposed action. There are many kinds of impact assessment. No doubt you've heard of environmental impact assessment, which is the most well-known, which began to take place in the 1960s, then social impact assessment, equality impact assessment, and of course health impact assessment. There's several sessions on that at this conference. The World Health Organization defines health impact assessment as a combination of procedures, methods, and tools by which a policy, program, or project may be judged as to its potential effects on the health of a population and the distribution of those effects within the population. The purpose of an impact assessment is to inform decision makers about potential consequences of a proposal so that they have an opportunity to improve it before they adopt and implement it. Health impact assessment also serves as a process to involve the people who will be affected by the proposal in the decision-making process and in examining the alternatives and weighing the options. Human rights impact assessment, not that similar. The UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health defines it as a process of predicting the potential consequences of a proposed policy, program, or project on the enjoyment of human rights. Human rights impact assessment is much newer than the other forms of impact assessment. Other than Gostin and Mann's methodology proposed in 1994, very little was done in this area until about a decade ago. After the millennium, there was growing interest in developing proactive human rights tools to aid governments and others in progressively realizing the right to health, among other economic and social rights. This was in part due to the fact that at this point, the Committee on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights had begun to unpack the content of these rights. There was not a great deal that could be done on indicators before we knew what the right to health was. In a major report in 2006, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health set out a framework for human rights impact assessment that has 7 human rights principles for the process and a 6-step process for carrying it out. The human rights principles include use an explicit human rights framework. This framework will depend on the proposal that you're examining and assessing and also on who's carrying it out. So, for example, if you were looking at policy you think is going to impact on health, you might use the right to health. UNICEF uses the Convention on the Rights of the Child. You pick a human rights framework that makes sense for the problem that you're working on. Aim to progressively realize human rights. So the idea is not simply to prevent harmful impacts from a proposal, but to look at how the policy can actually advance the right to health. So we should be getting better, not just stopping things from getting worse. Promote equality and non-discrimination both in the impact assessment process as well as in the policy that will be resulting from this. Ensure meaningful participation by all, particularly the people who will be affected by the policy. Provide information. So this would be providing information on the human rights that are at issue, information on the impact assessment process and how people can participate in it, and allow respect for the right to freely express ideas. Establish mechanisms to hold the state accountable. This would be both mechanisms about the impact assessment itself, how people can make complaints or bring up issues during the process, as well as how the policy will be implemented, and there can be a feedback loop in terms of how well it's working out. And then finally, recognize the interdependence of all human rights, because we sometimes focus very much on one particular human right or one particular issue and fail to look at how this might impact on other human rights as well. So then there's a 6-step process to human rights impact assessment, which is actually very similar to other impact assessment processes. In particular, health impact assessment looks almost exactly like this. The difference is that human rights is integrated at each step of the process. So in the first step at the preliminary check, in addition to the usual things you would do to determine whether a full assessment needs to be done, you have to look at what are the government's obligations for human rights. So if you were doing one related to the right to health, what are the government's obligations for the right to health? In the assessment plan, you would want to make sure that the plan is human rights-based and respects human rights in terms of including marginalized groups, providing information, and so forth. At the information collection stage, you would want to collect information to respond to human rights-based indicators. Step 4, the human rights analysis, I think is the key to a human rights impact assessment. That's where you compare the human rights obligations in step 1 to the information you've collected at step 3 to see how there's going to be an impact on human rights. Evaluating the options, should it be also measuring the weight on each side of different human rights. And finally, this decision should be made based on a human rights rationale. The selection of this option be rationalized from a human rights basis? The added value of human rights and impact assessment. Human rights could be added to any kind of impact assessment. It doesn't have to be a standalone human rights impact assessment. There are several reasons. One, human rights is a legitimate moral and legal framework. Governments have adopted and agreed to these obligations, so they should be held to them. It builds coherence across levels and sectors of governments in that all levels and sectors of governments have obligations towards for these rights. It includes these principles of process of non-discrimination, information, participation, transparency, and accountability, which will be ingrained to all steps of the impact assessment process. And it builds capacity of rights holders and duty bearers and helps them, rights holders, to claim their rights, duty bearers to meet their obligations, thus empowering people during the process and hopefully teaching them about human rights and their ability to participate further in the future as well. In sum, human rights impact assessment helps people to become better at holding their governments accountable. Are there legal obligations to carry out human rights impact assessment?
Not yet.
At least not in the way we think of them in hard law. But there are a lot of factors that point towards a growing obligation for human rights impact assessment. The International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights requires state parties to the covenant to use all appropriate means to implement these rights, including the right to health. And the Committee on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights has certainly indicated that human rights impact assessment is an appropriate mean to implement the right to health. The Committee on the Rights of the Child has been even stronger, saying that child rights impact assessment is necessary to know what the impact is going to be on children and that you can't abide by that convention without carrying out child rights impact assessment. And several special rapporteurs have also requested that governments carry out human rights impact assessment and, in fact, have gone further. At least the special rapporteur on the right to health and the special rapporteur on the right to food kind of give you the idea that they think it's an obligation to carry out human rights impact assessment in certain situations, in particular because governments have a responsibility to ensure that they don't adopt laws that conflict with previously existing obligations, including their human rights obligations. So how will they know they're not doing that if they don't actually do an impact assessment? So, human rights in practice, very quickly, because I'm running out of time here, I wanted to look at three different periods, the Gostin and Mann that I mentioned earlier, then after the right to health has been more clearly defined, aim for human rights, and then most recently the UNICEF Child Rights Toolkit. So the Gostin and Mann tool that came out in 1994, at that time, there was little knowledge of human rights among public health officials. The human rights community had rarely written or litigated in the area of health, and the right to health had not been operationally defined. The methodology was designed to balance public health benefits of a policy against human rights burdens. It sets out seven steps for human rights impact assessment, and that are specifically applied to policies to address sexually transmitted diseases, HIV, and tuberculosis. The gist of the human rights impact assessment methodology was to ensure that policies were as narrowly tailored as possible to prevent unnecessary infringement on human rights while protecting public health. The impact assessment focused on infringements of the right to confidentiality, the right to privacy, and the right to personal security. Notably, it has a strong focus on civil and political rights, which makes sense at that time, and completely missing was the right to health, which I found interesting. But then there was no content to the right to health yet. Flip forward, in 2006, first, the Humanist Committee for Human Rights, later renamed AIM for Human Rights and came out with a revision in 2010, developed the Health Rights of Women Assessment Instrument, a six-step process for NGOs to gather credible evidence on potential health impacts for purposes of lobbying. This methodology was based on the components of the right to health and some features also from the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. It was the first true human rights impact assessment focused on the right to health, and it's many, many cases have been done now using this instrument all around the world. And there, many of them are online as well. So most recently, the UNICEF tool that I mentioned earlier, they came up with a child rights toolkit in 2014. One module is on child impact assessment. They also did several case studies before the coming up with this tool. One example was a human rights impact assessment of the privatization of electricity in Bosnia and the impact that of the expected cost increases on child nutrition, education, healthcare, and leisure. Although the study was comprehensive and rigorous and the team produced an excellent report, it had no impact on the proposed policy. It did introduce both human rights and evidence-based policymaking in Bosnia, which the team believes will have longer-term benefits. The 2014 tool now includes another step specifically for preparing policy briefs and lobbying for the government. Progress and challenges. So there's much wider recognition of human rights impact assessment since 1994 when Gostin and Mann first published their methodology, and they are being carried out in many countries, primarily by NGOs at this point. There is much wider recognition of economic and social rights in general, and the right to health in particular, and much greater content to the right to health. There's also a great focus on progressive realization in human rights generally, rather than just looking at past violations. And finally, this idea of entrenching human rights impact assessment in law so that it will become routine, like environmental impact assessment. I mean, right now there are a lot of instruments out there recommending human rights impact assessment and certainly suggesting that it could be a legal obligation under certain circumstances. But as far as I know, it hasn't actually been adopted into any domestic law that would require any kind of policy to undergo human rights impact assessment as it is described here. There are regulatory impact assessments, which are kind of desktop exercises to see if legislation complies with human rights, usually with just civil and political rights. But that's it. So my hope is that eventually it will come into law. Thank you.